This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Don't waste time on apps that don't work. Babbel's conversation-based teaching prepares you for real-life situations. And studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/truecrime. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/truecrime, spelled BABBEL.com/truecrime. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Erin here, and I hope you're enjoying the holidays. Now, for this week, we're presenting a conversation I had last season on Joe Exotic, a.k.a. the Tiger King. My now-retired 48 Hours colleague, Richard Schlesinger, discusses his investigation into this very bizarre case, including going up in a plane to see if someone could really dump a body midair into the ocean.
Joe Exotic is this wild, cartoonish, flamboyant, mulleted, tattooed, gun-toting, large animal owner. Kind of the Mick Jagger, I'd say, of the large cat animal world. Carol's more a hippie, new age vibe, wears flower crowns.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, it's Carol, the Big Cat Rescue.
Carol has fashioned herself as more of an animal activist.
Big cats don't belong in cages.
She says that what Joe is doing is not humane and should be stopped. Joe saw this as an attack on himself, his business.
It'll be a cold day in hell before you completely stop me.
What began as a feud between two exotic animal owners has become a crazy, complicated, cryptic mystery, with Joe Exotic now sitting in prison and his nemesis, Carol Baskin, sitting accused by her own stepchildren of doing away with their dad, which she denies. But they do have some pretty wild theories of how he might have died.
There's one that he was drugged and put in one of the small planes and dumped out in the Gulf.
Then there's the whole Carol Baskin fed him to the tigers theory,
that she had her husband ground up in a meat grinder and fed him to the animals. It was such a weirdly fascinating unsolved story.
I'm Erin Moriarty, 48 Hours, and this is my life of crime.
This is a perfect mystery for these times. It's weird, wild, and endlessly fascinating. And the only person who can make sense of this case is my friend and colleague, Richard Schlesinger. Can you make sense of this case, Richard?
I was just going to say, thanks for setting me up like that.
Come on, you investigated this case for 48 hours.
I'll do my best. It is, you know how we say from time to time, when we're talking, Erin, about how this is the weirdest case we've ever done, and then the next case is even weirder. This is it's going to be tough to top this one, I'll tell you.
Richard Schlesinger, my former colleague on 48 Hours, he's retired now, knows about as much as anyone does about this case. You will not only hear from him, but also from some of the people he spoke to during his investigation. The drama began with Joe Exotic, a man who once ran an animal park in Oklahoma. His operation caught the eye and the ire of Carol Baskin, a big cat rescue in Florida. She accused Joe Exotic of abusing animals. He accused her of murdering her husband. And then Netflix produced a documentary, Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness, and then produced a second season, Tiger King 2. And with that, a petty squabble became a battle royale.
Well, let's do a little bit of background. First, starting with Joe Exotic, whose real name is Joseph Maldonado Passage.
Well, that's his latest name. He was once known as Joseph Schreibvogel.
That was his maiden name, right?
That was his first name, I guess. Yeah.
And so, just so people understand, he's been really doing a lot of things. He once was a cop. I read that he ran for president, but his more recent employment was running the Greater Wynwood Exotic Animal Park in Oklahoma. And that's really the important fact here, right?
Right. And that's where the feud with Carol Baskin began. Carol Baskin runs a sanctuary for big cats outside Tampa and is an animal rights activist and went after Joe Exotic, or as I like to call him, Mr. Exotic, for abusing animals and using them as commercial instruments.
Yeah, she picked the wrong person to have a cat fight with, didn't she?
Oh,
sorry,
Erin.
I couldn't resist.
Oh, are you proud of yourself now?
Keep going.
Are you? Well, you know, I don't know if he picked the wrong person or if she picked the wrong person. Neither one of these people, I think, are people that you want to necessarily pick a fight with. Carol Baskin went after Joe Exotic because she didn't like the fact that he was packing tigers in his car and driving to shopping centers and malls and charging money to have pictures taken with the cats. And he struck back at her. He said that she was trying to destroy him, and he made all these videos supposing that maybe she had something to do with Don Lewis's disappearance.
Well, and that's really where your investigation started, isn't it? That looking into who Don Lewis was and what happened to him. Tell me about Don Lewis.
Don Lewis was one. I wish that he was still alive. I would have loved to have met Don Lewis. He started his professional life, if you will, tearing apart engines and putting them back together, or pretty much putting together anything. He was by all reports, an amazing self-taught sort of engineer. But he had no money. By the time he disappeared, he had somewhere between $5 and $10 million, depending on who you believe. And talk about being a self-made man. I mean, he made all that himself.
Well, with the help.
He would buy anything.
Of his first wife.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm sure that she contributed something, but this guy, from all reports, was an incredible entrepreneur and an amazing businessman who loved to buy and sell things.
So, but I did want to, of course, I was trying to hint to bring up Gladys, who was Don Lewis's first wife, because she's
Gladys,
important character here, too. And I use that word character with a lot of meaning.
Yeah, no, Gladys is a character in every sense of the word. They were married for somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 years. And let's just say that Don Lewis enjoyed the company of women, many of whom to whom he was not married.
Here's a portion from Richard's interview with a memorable Gladys as she describes Don Lewis and their marriage.
Was he a good husband?
He was until I would get a call and say he's seeing someone.
Ooh, well, that's, pardon me, that doesn't sound like a good husband.
He was.
Up until that point.
Yes.
May I be a little impolite and ask you if you know roughly how many women he was seeing besides you?
If you're talking about the whole 34 years I was married to him, or possibly 25.
Forgive me again for asking, but how did that make you feel?
Well, when I would find out, I would tell him I was leaving, and he would say, there'll be no more.
Did you believe him?
Of course, at that time. And as years went by, no. You have to make up your mind to live in that situation or let it drive you crazy.
And then, according to Richard, after a series of short-lived affairs, Don Lewis fell head over heels for a particular young woman.
Can I tell you how he met Carol Baskin?
Absolutely.
This was, well, to hear Gladys tell it, Don was on his way to see one of his other girlfriends and was driving down the street in Tampa one night and saw Carol Baskin, who was a teenager at the time, but in a bad marriage, walking down the street crying. So he pulled over in his truck. She got in. They went to a motel, and the rest is history.
Are you serious?
So I asked Gladys. Well, that's kind of what I asked Gladys. I said, wait a minute, let me understand this. So he was on his way to meet another girlfriend when he met Carol Baskin, who was not Carol Baskin at the time, obviously. And she said, yep.
But it does sound like, Richard, there could be a lot of suspects in Don Lewis's disappearance because it seemed like, he got around. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
He was free with his affections.
Well, so what is it about Carol that lured Don Lewis away from Gladys finally?
Well, Carol was quite good looking at the time. Apparently liked younger women. She was quite young at the time. Who knows what magic was working that night on the street in Tampa? Who knows?
So Don and Carol get married, and that's really when the Cat Sanctuary came into being, or?
Yeah. Yeah, they got married, and they started this business where they bought a bunch of big cats and they put them on display, and they had sort of a bed and breakfast where you could come and stay and then hang out with tigers for a while. And that worked out for a while until they started arguing over what should happen with the animals. Carol didn't want to breed them anymore, didn't want to sell them, didn't want to use them as, you know, a business venture. Don did. And so the story was that they fought over that. There were also stories that Don had kept up his freewheeling ways with the ladies, which probably didn't do much for the marriage.
So Don was still catting around?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's the second time. That's the second.
Sorry,
oh, no, first one was a cat fight.
Yeah, sorry. I had
really getting your claws into this story, aren't you there, Erin?
Yes, I am. This story deserves mm-hmm. that. So if he's still catting around and they're fighting over what to do with the real cats, and then Don suddenly disappears. How did that come about?
Well, Don had a lot of interest in Costa Rica. He had some businesses down there. He liked it. He would go there a lot, and he was planning to go to Costa Rica to sell some used cars and trucks. He left work one day, and a couple of days before he was supposed to go to Costa Rica, and that was the last time anybody saw him.
This episode is brought to you in part by June's Journey. Picture it, the glamour of the roaring 20s wrapped in a mystery that only you can solve. Dive into June Parker's captivating quest to uncover scandalous family secrets. With your keen eye for detail, find hidden clues and solve mind-boggling puzzles. It's all about observation, intrigue, and drama. But beware. Each clue leads deeper into a thrilling storyline filled with danger and romance. June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
It was August 18, 1997. Don Lewis was never seen again.
Could he have just decided he had enough He had Carol. He had, you know, he had this.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, that was one of the theories. There were all sorts of theories about what happened to him. And one of the theories was he just wanted to start a new life. The problem with that is, you know, he left behind between $5 and $10 million. There was, he never tried to get it. There was never any activity on the account, left his families behind. So that seems to me, I mean, don't you think that seems a little weird, Aaron, that, you know, if he spent all this time accumulating all this money that he would just up and disappear?
I agree. Did anybody see him? Like, so they, the story is that he was on his way to Costa Rica. Did he pick up an airplane? Did he fly to Costa Rica? I mean, when was the last time he was seen?
The last time he was seen was when, well, the last time he was seen by people who will admit it is by Anne McQueen, his assistant, who said he left and he was supposed to give her some, you know, VIN numbers for the cars that he was going to sell. He never called. She called him. He never called back. This went on for a day or two. And she called Carol and said, have you seen Don? And Carol said, no, I haven't. Should I call the police? And Anne said, yeah, you think? I think you should.
But Carol Baskin told a different story about the day her husband disappeared.
Carol's story was that she went up in the middle of the night. She had to get up and get some food or some milk or something for the tigers. So she went out and her car broke down. So she went home and got Don, and he came out and helped her get the car. And then they went home, and then he left the next morning and she never saw him again. So,
what wasn't his car found at an airport?
Yeah, his van, a couple of days later, his van was found at a small airport. There are a lot of these airports around the country that are uncontrolled. There's no control tower or anything. It's just an airstrip and some airplanes. And his van was found there with the keys still in it, but no sign of him. And so the theory, there was a theory sprung up. His lawyer at the time told me that he had heard that people suspected that Don was up in an airplane, that Don was a pilot, and he liked airplanes, and he was in an airplane as a passenger, and somebody strangled him from the back seat, and they threw him out of the airplane. And that's why his body was never found, because he was over the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, these are very involved stories.
But pilots don't think that's possible.
As it turns out, Aaron, yes, I'm a pilot too. And I also fly the same kind of plane that was one of the planes that Don flew. So I got to thinking, you know, I hate to admit this, but I have taken off once without latching the door, and nothing happened, because when you're flying, you're going through the air, you know, pretty quickly. The air is keeping the door closed, so...
Richard even took a similar plane up to test his theory.
First of all, imagine the struggle involved in strangling a 170-pound man in this passenger seat. Then, if the plan was to push him out the door, that's a challenge. The slowest this airplane can fly is about 65 miles per hour, and that means winds approaching hurricane strength would be pushing against this door, trying to keep it closed. You'd have to open it, you'd have to keep it open, and you'd have to somehow wrestle the body out of here without interfering with the flight controls. Bottom line, I guess he could do it, but there are easier ways to get rid of a body.
And in fact, Joe Exotic, without any proof, came up with another more popular and certainly more sinister theory.
You know, going back to Mr. Exotic, he was pushing the theory, that's the famous theory, that he was killed and fed to the tigers, put in a meat grinder and fed to the tigers. As a matter of fact, as another wonderfully bizarre part of this story, Joe Exotic made a music video demonstrating how he thought maybe Carol Baskin had fed Don Lewis's body to the tigers.
Don Lewis's first wife, Gladys, seems to think Carol was involved, although she plays coy in her interview with Richard.
What was your first thought?
I would love to tell you, but I better not.
Can you give me a hint?
You got it.
You thought it was her?
I can't say that.
Would I be wrong in assuming that that was your first thought?
Maybe.
Maybe I'd be wrong?
Maybe you might be right.
And isn't that assuming then, if all those theories though, Mr. Exotic and his children all point the finger at Carol Baskin, but what would be her motive? She was married to him. Why kill him?
For the money is what Gladys thinks. I asked Gladys that very question. I said, why would she want to kill him? And Gladys looked at me and said, M-O-N-E-Y, money. Oldest motive in the book.
Before he disappeared, Don Lewis had talked about divorcing Carol. His lawyer told Richard that Carol stood to lose a lot if Don went through with it.
So she would have lost a considerable amount of money.
Millions.
That's considerable.
That's considerable.
But then, we got to be honest, Gladys would have a reason to point to Carol Baskin. I mean, she's the scorned woman.
Oh, I mean, Gladys would have every reason to point to Carol. We should point out that Carol has subsequently pointed to Gladys and said that Don told her that Gladys tried to kill him 3 times before. So
you
everybody's
think there's a truth to that?
It's hard to say because you know it's one person's word against another. The interesting thing in support of Gladys's theory that Carol might have had something to do with it is that Don filed for a restraining order against Carol shortly before he went missing. And in the restraining order, he said that Carol threatened to kill him. Is that true? Who knows? The restraining order was denied by the judge. There was a guy who Carol dated after Don disappeared who also filed for a restraining order. He said to Carol while they were dating, what happens if your husband shows up? And Carol responded, again, according to this guy, Carol responded, dead bodies don't talk. So
whoa.
That's floating around too. You see why this story is so involved, right?
If you're constantly on the hunt for a good deal, then you need Rakuten. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, traveling, dining, and more. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cash back really adds up.
Carol Baskin has said publicly that she feared that her husband might have dementia and that he simply got lost. But Don's daughters from his marriage to Gladys say that doesn't make sense.
If a person at the beginning, your husband, you think he has dementia, he's got Alzheimer's, and now he's missing, do you turn his cell phone off after 2 or 3 weeks of him being missing? His only lifeline to reach you?
Yeah.
She turned it off.
His cell phone was turned off.
3 weeks.
Yes.
After.
Cancel the account.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And why would you do that?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Why would you do that? Carol, you know, I mean, that's...
He might call if,
well, that's
if
their
in
point.
Fact.
That's their point. But again, I mean, you know, this, you gotta, more so than in a lot of cases, you've got to take a lot of these stories with a grain of salt. A lot of time has passed. There's a lot of money involved. It's, I don't know.
Richard says Carol Baskin has been very open about the situation with Don Lewis online, although she wouldn't speak with 48 Hours. Meanwhile, she did have a stint on Dancing with the Stars while still running her animal refuge in Florida.
Hi, I'm Carol Baskin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Big Cat Rescue.
And her great nemesis, Joe Exotic? Well, he landed in prison, and here's how it happened. Back in 2010, Carol had tried to stop Joe Exotic from taking baby tigers to shopping malls. there were lawsuits, and Joe fought back with videos that he posted on YouTube.
Hey, Carol Baskin, down there at Big Cat Rescue.
Joe made videos about Carol, reviving those suspicions about her husband's death, and seemed at times to be threatening her. And it appears that he went too far.
And you think I'm obsessed with you?
Carol Baskin, you better never, ever see me face to face.
He's posted pictures of an effigy of me hanging and pointing a gun to my head.
A jury finds former Wynnewood Animal Park owner Joe Exotic guilty.
So here's what happened. So, you know, Joe Exotic was arrested after he tried to hire a hitman to kill Carol Baskin. That's how bad the feud had gotten. So he gets convicted of trying to have her killed, gets 22 years in the penitentiary, and Carol Baskin's the one who's like painted out as the bad guy. I was fascinated by that.
Joe Exotic is in prison for attempted murder while Carol Baskin goes on with her life. Authorities do consider Carol Baskin a person of interest in the disappearance of Don Lewis, but since her initial interview with them, she's declined to speak with investigators. So the case into Lewis's disappearance remains open.
I think it's very interesting. She also, although she wouldn't talk to you, she did send you an email, right? Talking about all this is false.
She denied everything very strongly.
Even the meat grinder?
Well, she didn't have to deny the meat grinder because, as it turns out, the sheriff said that when they went to, that the meat grinder wasn't on the property at the time. So I'm not sure how well the meat grinder is going to stand up over time. Do I think this case will ever be solved? I do not think so. I'm going to go out on a limb. Having said that, watch, it'll be solved tomorrow. But it's just been so long. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, what these sort of amateur sleuths are doing is what we worry about the police doing all the time. They've just assumed that Carol did it, and so they're looking for evidence to convict Carol. So what if she didn't do it? What if somebody else did it? Are you not looking for evidence against anybody else? You know what I mean? It's a problem.
I also don't want to get lost in all of this. You spoke with his daughters. I mean, they loved their dad.
They
weren't part of all, you know?
They loved him. They remember their childhood happily. They didn't know about all of the philandering, but he was apparently, except for the philandering, a very good father. And they, you know, they still love him. And they are 100% convinced, I think, that Carol Baskin killed him. But that's them.
This case involves real people. But one of the viewers who watched the 48 Hours story remarked that there are no heroes in this. They're all antagonists. There's no one to root for in this case, maybe except for Don Lewis. And that the only victims are the cats.
Yeah, I'm an animal lover, as you know. And I worry about what will happen to the Tigers. I do think, you know, whatever kind of a guy Don Lewis was, he didn't deserve to die. And so you do kind of hope that I hope they find out who did this. I think he deserves it. I think his daughters deserve it. You know, you can root for the daughters. They are, you know, after all they've been through, they still have a lot of grace about them, and they have a lot of pain. But, you know, they deserve to know what happened to their father. Gladys, God bless her, Gladys deserves to know what happened to Don. There are some people who think she knows what happened to Don. I guess talking about it, I think there are people you can root for. You can root for Don. You can root for the daughters. And that's something.
You can root for the cats, the Tigers.
And you can root for the cats.
I'm Erin Moriarty, 48 Hours, and that's my life of crime. This podcast series is developed by 48 Hours in partnership with CBS News Radio. Judy Tigard is 48 Hours executive producer. Steve Dorsey is CBS News Radio executive producer. Production and editing for this season of My Life of Crime is by Alan Pang. Daniel Levy is our coordinating producer. This episode was also produced by Stephanie Slifer, Richie Fetzer, and Richard Barber of 48 Hours. Craig Swagler is Vice President and General Manager of CBS News Radio. And finally, a big thank you to all of you, our listeners. We owe it all to you, the millions of 48 Hours fans. Don't forget to join me online. I'm at EF Moriarty on Twitter, and we're at 48 Hours on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you soon.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
If you're listening to this podcast, then chances are good you are a fan of The Strange, Dark, and Mysterious. And if that's the case, then I've got some good news. We just launched a brand new Strange, Dark, and Mysterious podcast called Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries. And as the name suggests, it's a show about medical mysteries, a genre that many fans have been asking us to dive into for years, and we finally decided to take the plunge, and the show is awesome. In this free weekly show, we explore bizarre, unheard-of diseases, strange medical mishaps, unexplainable deaths, and everything in between. Each story is totally true and totally terrifying. Go follow Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries wherever you get your podcasts, and if you're a Prime member, you can listen early and ad-free on Amazon Music.